You're listening to Intellectual Erection,
a place where we talk about the naughty.
To stimulate your thinking.
You're listening
to
Intellectual Erection.
Intellectual Erection.
Передачу, где мы говорим о диспутам субъекта секса.
Мы говорим о любви.
To stimulate your thinking. Welcome to another episode of Intellectual Erection, Sexy Anonymous Tales, Compilation, Volume 3, in the time of COVID-19, pandemic, quarantine, isolation, whatever it is. It's all really good. Sexy stories sent in from you, the listeners. Thank you so much for the amount of contributions that I've received. I still have a backlog of stories and I'm still making more of these. So please, I'm going to leave this open and continuing for as long as possible. Even when I restart the interviews again, I think I will be making some more of these compilation episodes because they've been so fun and you've enjoyed them. So if you want to contribute, even if you've already contributed, I'm sure you got more stories. Yeah. So hit record on your phone, record that audio, your sexiest story, wildest, most outrageous. You know what? They can be funny too. Send me a funny story. Send me a time that you had a sexual mishap. I would love to hear that. And then just send it to intellectualerection@gmail.com and I will compile it in one of the future episodes. So as has been the sort of tradition so far, the last story is a bit of comic relief, so if all you want is the erotic stories and you don't want your arousal to be ruined, I will warn you the last story is comic relief, so you can stop it there and listen at another time, or just, you know, bear on through it. Maybe that is what turns you on. Who knows? And as always, listen, subscribe, review, and most of all, enjoy. You're sitting in the hot tub, letting the bubbles feel their way around your skin, relaxing your entire body. But you're not alone. The person beside you says, "Hey, so this really interesting thing happened to me in a hot tub once." You sit up just a little, letting the jets massage your back, and listen.
My ex-boyfriend had a hot tub. Whenever he invited friends over, it was assumed to bring your bathing suit, because we would always take a dip. So one night, it's late, and most people had left the party. It's just me, my ex, who was my boyfriend at the time, and his close friend, and that guy's girlfriend. We all decided to go into the hot tub. I sit on top of my boyfriend in one corner, while the other couple sits across from us, mirroring the same lap sitting position. The four of us are chatting, laughing, having a casual conversation. The bubbles are on, and under the water, my boyfriend starts to slowly touch my leg and my inner thigh. He keeps the casual conversation going, not to cause any indication that he's doing something naughty. His hand slowly moves up my leg and takes my bathing suit and puts it to the side. At this point, I've completely gone silent, not contributing to the conversation, trying so hard to focus on acting normal. He slides his hand into my pussy and slowly starts fingering me. I distinctly remember him and his friend were talking about a class in school. All of a sudden, I kind of come out of the focused trance that I'm in, and I realize that the girlfriend across from me isn't talking either. We lock eyes, and I see it in her face. She's getting fingered also.
You're at work when you overhear two of your co-workers talking. One of them's telling the other one something very interesting. You don't want to eavesdrop, but it's hard not to hear them, especially when the story's this good.
I was horny one afternoon and made plans to go have fun with my lover. On my way to his place, my partner found out about our plans and he decided that he wanted to come along. So he left work early and joined me at my lover's place. When we got there, the men decided to place a mirror on the floor so that we could watch everything that was happening, as one of them took me from behind and I sucked the other one off. It was a really cool view to be able to see everything while I was getting used by both of them. Then we decided to go to the bedroom, and the plan was that we were going to do a DP. So I had straddled my lover, and he was inside of me, and I was prepared and waiting for my partner to take my asshole. But his big fat cock slid in my pussy too, which I had never had happen before, and I didn't think that my little kitty could handle two big dicks. But it did, and it was magical. I couldn't get over the feeling of feeling the two cocks rub against my walls of my pussy and against each other, and I had really, really intense orgasms during the activity. And then one, I can't remember which, started to come, and his cock throbbing triggered the other cock to start coming. So both of them came inside of me at the same time. It was a pretty magical day.
You're at a sleepover. The lights are out. You're comfortable in bed, chatting into the night, when you decide to ask when this person moved here and what that experience was like.
I was moving in a city where I didn't know too many people, so I hired some movers. And on the day of the move, the movers arrived pretty late, so I was kind of in already a different mind state. I just wanted to get this move over and done with, and here comes along this guy, and he's chatting me up and you know, being all friendly and clearly interested in me. And it was, I was flattered, but I guess in my mind, I was just focused on the move. So a few days later, he had my number because through the move, and I guess we started chatting a little bit, and I had learned that, he was 6 years younger than me, so I was 31, well, I am 31, and he was 25. So fast forward to a few months later, and we are dating at this point. I do want to mention that as a female, I guess I'm very liberal sexually, and I know what I want, and I'm confident and things like that. So I find that a lot of times I can intimidate a lot of men, and I come across as an alpha. And that is one of the last things that I want in the bedroom. It is the biggest turnoff. I do not want to be an alpha. I do not want to be the dominant one. Like, but because of my strong presence, I guess that somehow I end up having more control in the bedroom, which is such a turnoff for me. So fast forward to when me and this guy, we'll call him Mover. So fast forward to a few months and we're dating. And I'm giving him head, and he's just kind of controlling the whole scenario, and he's just treating me like, mind you, this kid is six. I'm saying kid because I'm 31, he's 26, but mind you, he's leading everything and just fully in an acting mode where, like, he's the clear dominant person in this scenario. And so I'm sucking his dick, and he's just treating me like I'm such a subordinate, which I love that kind of thing. And I think it takes a lot for a man to be a truly dominant, you know. And so he's like, the way he's saying, he's like, yeah, that's a good girl, like, as if I'm in, not in a degrading way, but honestly, as if I'm like like a good pet. He's like, you know, he's just kind of leading me on or say, like, encouraging me to continue and just treating me like clearly I'm the subordinate one. Like, I don't even know how to reenact it. But and then we moved to the bedroom. And so he wants to stick it in my ass. And at first I'm a little bit hesitant, obviously, you know, like we're still new, mind you, but he just does like everything so like positions me and like I was just so into it. And he's like, I'm going to punish you because you were bad and you were late for work and daddy has to punish you, and like sticks it in my ass. And it was so thrilling and so good. And it was basically all my fantasies of like coming together of like finally a man is able to show dominance and take over and be sexually confident in what he's doing.
You're at a bar. You've had a few. And the stranger beside you starts chatting you up. Clearly, they had a few as well. After talking and getting a little heated, you muster up the courage to ask, what's the wildest thing they ever done?
So I was at a sex party, and as you do at such things, I was having sex with someone I might have just met for the first time. He was vigorously taking me from behind, having carried me from against the wall to bent over the bed. As we were doing that, another friend of ours, someone I know quite well, was sitting in front of me, and I was going down on him. He then got up, and as he got up, I heard from behind me, "May I tap in?" And the person who was vigorously doing me agreed, and I probably nodded my head in agreement because, hey, it was somebody I knew, right? So then he proceeds to put on a condom and start taking me from behind as well. So as things go, this person decides to flip me over. And as soon as I flipped over and looked at the person's face, I realized it wasn't actually the person that I knew and someone I hadn't even met yet at the party. Anyways, a good time was had by all, and it was definitely now in the archives as one of my favorite sex party stories.
You're having a video chat with your friend from abroad, making plans together for some adventure in the summer. When you ask what their favorite past adventure was, while traveling.
So this is like 4 years ago. I was in San Francisco. I went to this party that was run by the Burning Man organization. And I was like, you know, talking to people and hugging people. And then I met this couple who were very, very nice. And she was like really, really cute and just my type. And I was talking to them, and then she said they were dating for about 2 weeks back then. And she mentioned the fact that she was in non-monogamous relationships before, but he wasn't. So he kind of doesn't know exactly what's his stand about, like, polyamory. So I proposed this this experience to these two. And I asked him, are you game into like trying, you know, to, you know, check your boundaries? And he's like, okay. So I proposed to her that I'm going to make out with her while he's watching. And then we talk about, you know, how he's feeling and, you know, if that's good or not. And she's like, yeah, I'm down for that. And he's like, okay. So I made out with her for a bit. And then he was like feeling a bit uncomfortable because it was like new to him, but then we like exchanged contact information, like became Facebook friends, and then I've never heard from her for like a while. Fast forward, 2 years later, I'm in Burning Man. I ride my bike, and then I see one of the tents has this sign above it with the name of the camp. It's Come Inside, but it's spelled C-U-M, Come Inside, right? So I walk in and I see like a threesome going on, two guys and a girl, and like being very straightforward as I am, I sort of like walk up to them and I say, hey, do you guys want to make this threesome into a foursome? And the girl's like, yes, new penis, come in, very excitingly. The other guy was just done. He brings me a condom from, like, there was a bowl of condoms there. And then I was sort of like, while I'm doing her, she looks at me and says, "Hey, are you from Israel?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then, "I know you." So apparently, two of the three people from the threesome were the couple I met 2 years before at the party. And they were sort of like, it was like closing a circle, because I was the one who sort of like pushed them into, you know, being an open couple. And I was like, okay, it's like, it's a big circle now.
You have your married friend over for dinner. You're having some wine. And you decide to ask about the wedding story. How it all happened.
My husband and I met and got married about a year after I left uni. For context, at uni, I'd been pretty intense with an astounding foreign student who was in my dorm. She used to love taking erotic photos of me, and we had some incredible chemistry. I am short, blonde, petite. She's tall, brunette, and oozes sexy strength. When she received our wedding invite, she immediately wrote to me to say we absolutely must not arrange a photographer. She would be our official choice, and it would be her gift to us. Now, I'm quite camera shy, so having the memories recorded by someone I admire and trust, that was a perfect outcome. On the day itself, my husband and his best man got ready at our house, and then went off to the church to wait. Meanwhile, I was up in my bedroom with Madame, our photographer, and the hairdresser. With my hair and makeup complete, the stylist left, meaning it was just the two of us in the room. The two of us who used to spend our evening exploring bodies and fantasies. She, who had drawn blood scratching me while we fondled. Me, who would model and pose for hours to see her smile. She looked at me and said how sexy my wedding lingerie was. I felt good in it, all angelic white lace. Except perhaps a fallen angel, because it was stockings, suspenders, a tiny little thong, and a beautiful satin bra. She looked at me with a look that I know very, very well, and told me to kneel on the bed, hands behind my head. I heard the shutter of her camera click. She told me to lie on my back and open my legs. I watched her as she clicked shot after shot, telling me how she wanted me to pose, turning me into the object of desire. She took my veil, and she used that to tie me to the bed. And she made me give her eye contact before she clicked that shot, and more. She undid the veil. I put it on properly over my lingerie for one last capture. And then I put on my dress. And that was when she winked and said, "That was nothing. Here is the real present." And I'm not joking. She took out a handheld printer and a small photo album made of white leather from her bag. So while I put on my shoes and collected my bouquet, she printed 8 poses and stuck them in the album. Raw, unedited, no changes. I went downstairs to find my mother and my bridesmaids, while she sent her boyfriend down to the church to hand deliver those shots fresh off the press to my husband, who was genuinely waiting at the altar. Now, most couples smile at each other when they walk down the aisle, but damn, he knew exactly what was going to be waiting for him the minute he left the church.
You're at a party, you meet someone, and you start talking about the Tiger King that you had just seen. And this person says, "Well, let me tell you about my tiger."
Over the past summer last year, before the quarantine broke out and when we were all happy and healthy, I started experimenting with public sex with my Russian tiger. One day, it was around the end of the summer, and we really wanted to go to Center Islands. We brought some brews, watched the cranes on the river, and just took in the beautiful scenery. Eventually, it started to get dark, and before we left, my tiger was starting to fill me up by caressing my hips, my thighs, and we ended up going behind a bush, and I started pulling my panties down. I was wearing a nice 80s style dress. This is kind of like a retro dress that would go upwards a little bit. I started pulling it off, and my tiger started to pull down his pants, and eventually I straddled him down on his knees, and I could feel our thighs clutching against each other as I was starting to ride him like a stallion, not quite like a tiger. Eventually, it started to rain, and I was getting really hot and bothered by it because it just felt like everything was coming in all at once. I was going closer and closer to the peak of my erection. He was getting closer to it. There was rain falling on top of my hair. I didn't even care if my hair was getting curled up or not. I was just riding this dude like there was no fucking tomorrow. And then eventually he straddled me off, goes behind me, and starts fucking me like two tigers in a jungle. Eventually he comes almost like a little pattern. My tiger has a really nice orgasm where he will pause and then stop and then come a couple times fast. And then as he was coming, we were in the dirt, in the grass, behind the bushes, under the night with rain pouring on us. And we were just so full of adrenaline after we were done.
You're hanging out in a dusty attic filled with old boxes and long forgotten things when she pulls out a journal and asks if she could read you a little something.
We met through a mutual friend at the end of a random night at a bar. When summer weather started to hit the city, he mentioned he was moving to France for an internship. I mentioned I spoke French. He asked if I could teach him, and of course, I said yes. Somehow, our first lesson became a first date. We met at my place, and he brought red wine. We were an abashed youth. A little intoxicated, we ended up walking to a nearby park and scaled the playground before landing side by side on the swing set. Talking about anything and everything, giggling at the hilarity of two 20-somethings on a swing set near midnight. Our first kiss was on the walk home, still tipsy from the wine and the rush of hurtling our bodies into the night air. Our conversations were almost always effortless, like we'd known each other for years. We exchanged online comics before memes really became a thing. We talked science over ice cream and M&M over pizza. We both loved to cook for each other and would regularly settle in for a night of good food, red wine, and a comedy. He would stay over often when I wasn't working, since he lived at home with his parents. My housemates were gone for the summer, so we had the big house to ourselves, though often spent time in the small space between our bodies. We were playful and would often wrestle. It would always start off silly, a challenge over who cooked better, and we would tumble across my bed, using pillows and sheets to attack or defend, before one of us relinquished with an out-of-breath kiss. And then another, and the kisses would deepen, and our blood was no longer hot from the tussle, but from hands roaming over uncovered skin. Our standard sleepover was laying awake until the early hours of the morning, learning each other's pleasures. For our last night together, I built a fort in the living room. The kitchen chairs were the pillars that supported a ceiling of blankets and bedsheets. Within the walls, the floor was covered by a multitude of couch cushions and pillows. We had dinner surrounded by softness and had a movie playing. Without waiting for the movie to end, we stripped each other of our clothes, the air painfully thick with the knowledge that this would be the last time.
I remember how the light from the TV flickered. I remember tears itching my face, though I can't be sure if they were mine or his or both. I remember the heat of the summer being trapped and amplified in the fort. We kissed in earnest, lovingly caressing every inch of skin, wanting to memorize the hollows, lines, and dimples. The way we fit into each other, which touches elicited a sharp inhale of breath, hoping to engrave the memory of each other onto our souls. We fell asleep tangled together in the quiet under the canopy in our own little haven, but we couldn't stop the rest of the world from spinning, and in the morning we kissed in the doorway before he left the house, then left the city and flew to France. 3 weeks is all it was. A flash. A moment in time. A mere short breath in the span of a life. But it was my favorite summer love.
You're on a Tinder date, and there's a lot of chemistry. So you ask what was their best Tinder date so far, and what you have to beat to be on top.
So it was a Monday. I got home from work, scrolling through Tinder, and there was this cute, I think he would have been like 31-year-old that was just in Toronto for a hot minute. Blonde hair, blue eyes, very cute. And so he had super liked me, so I was like, I'm just going to like him back and see what happens. And he was quite forward and asked me if I wanted to go for dinner that night. So I recklessly abandoned my cleaning duties for Monday night and decided to meet him at Union Station, where he had literally just flown in from a conference in the States. And we walked together up to Taroni and sat on the back patio, had like a nice meal, had a drink, and I really couldn't tell if he was into me or not. And of course, this being my first Tinder date, I didn't know if I should invite this person over to my house or if I should just call it a night. And I decided to throw reckless abandon again for the Monday evening and invite him over. So we Ubered back to my place. And I know that his goal of his layover in Toronto was to go see Niagara Falls. So he had rented a car, but it was back at the airport. So we have a drink. We have a Dylan's Rose gin and tonic. And we're in the kitchen. And he suddenly, out of nowhere, lifts me up onto the counter. And then he tells me after that, that we're going to take a shower. It wasn't like, would you join me in the shower? It wasn't like, do you mind if I take a shower? It was, we are going in the shower. And so he lifted me from the counter to my bathroom and into the bath, where he proceeded to bathe me, which was an experience that I had never had in my life. And it was quite lovely. We ended up obviously having sex in the shower, sort of a soap dropping scenario. And he carried me, lifted me back out of the bath and dried me off and proceeded to carry me to my bed, where we had probably the steamiest sex ever. It was the first hot day of June or the first hot day of summer. It was 34 degrees that day. So I hadn't put in my air conditioner. Essentially, by the time we had finished our sexual engagement, my floor was soaking wet. My bed was soaking wet. It was a very slippery, hot situation. And we had quite a lovely time, and he was classic dominant male, but he was the type of person that didn't need a single restraint item. He could just physically maneuver in whatever way he needed to with himself. We'll call him Mr. Berlin because that's where he was from. He formerly served in the German military, and he was probably one of the most meticulous, minimalist people I've ever engaged with in my life, down to like the way that he placed his passport and his watch to the things that were in his suitcase. So anyway, we had a nice snuggle before he left because he still had the intention of going to get the rental car and going to Niagara Falls. So I messaged him, and we had a very connected time that I was not expecting. I don't think any of my Tinder dates even compared. They paled in comparison to him. And I wasn't expecting that from him either. So that was quite a nice surprise. And so I messaged him about an hour later to make sure that he had got to the airport and that he got his car okay and that everything was good. And he messaged me back saying that his credit card wouldn't go through for the vehicle rental, and even though he could pay in cash, it had to go on his credit card. So because he had been traveling and booked a bunch of trips for work and was going to do this crazy 150-kilometer marathon race in Oslo when he got back to Germany, he just needed to get back to a bank. So he's like, I can't rent this car, but I'm really determined to take the bus to Niagara Falls in the morning. And so I asked if he had a place to stay, and he said that he was just going to wait it out at the airport until the morning. So I suggested that he come back to my house, and that option was open to him. So he ended up coming back to my place. He remembered the route on the TTC, and was back at my house in about 45 minutes, where we had round two, followed by round three in the morning before I had to go to work. And he called me a beast in the morning. And we stayed in touch for a long time. We stayed in touch from June until September. And finally in September, he had planned a sabbatical year to learn how to speak English better, even though his English was great. He was going to have this sabbatical year in New Zealand. And at that time, I had met and was in between two pretty serious relationships that were happening, one in Toronto and one in BC. So I eventually deleted his contact from my WhatsApp, thinking I had found the love of my life, which turned out to be an almighty disaster. And so I still have and hope and hold this flame that I'll get to see him again. But so far I have not seen him again.
You bought a retro stereo from some hippie at a garage sale. You bring it home and set it up nicely. Then you realize there's a cassette in one of the slots. You open it up, pull out the cassette, and read it. It says, Audio Dating Service File 272. So you decide to plop back in and find out what it is.
Audio Dating Service File 272.
Hi friends, I'm Bodhi. To describe myself, yeah, I guess I'm about 6'1". I have topaz eyes, long natural dreads, and an organic beard. I guess I'm white, but like I don't see color on the outside, only on the inside. So I would actually prefer to describe myself in terms of my energy, which I truly feel exudes an electric orange. I'm also like raw vegan and gluten-free. I make a lot of my own things, like toothpaste, hair products, lotions, deodorant, because I don't believe in putting chemicals in my temple. What else? Let me see. I smoke, but like I make my own cigarettes, so there's no chemicals, just natural tobacco. I don't drink, obviously, but I am a huge fan of cannabis culture and cannabis products. Like, I grow my own. What am I looking for? I'm looking for my goddesses to build a commune with. Ideally, it'd be at least two or three goddesses to manifest abundance with, practice yoga, make cosmic connections, you know, through the art of tantra. To describe my ideal date, it would definitely have to be with all of my goddesses out surrounded by nature on a mind-expanding trip together. I would set up a ritual with incense and, you know, touching our bodies with essential oils, burning some white sage, and then I would guide my goddesses through the journey that would end with me blessing their yonis with the cosmic energy that I've actually accumulated in my varsha from months and months of practicing self-abstinence. I would then finish by anointing them with my spiritual fluid, and we would forever be bonded in the eye of the universe. So hit me up if you're looking for your mystical guide. I'm here to mentor you. I'm certified in Reiki, biorhythm readings, tarot readings, and aligning chakras, and I would love to hear from you and explore with you. I can start dating again as soon as my house arrest ends for domestic abuse, sexual coercion, and grooming.